sentenced by the Pantheon in Rome, Italy, and the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. William Thornton sent his building design to federal officials in Washington with a letter. "I have made my drawings with the greatest accuracy and the most minute attention," he wrote. "In an affair of so much consequence to the dignity of the United States, it was his request that you will not be hasty in deciding." President Washington and Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson selected a later version of Mr. Thornton's design for the Capitol. George Washington praised the design for its grandeur, simplicity, and beauty.
Over the centuries, the United States Capitol has had many changes and additions. Many architects have worked on its extensions. But just as important as the building's design are the priceless collections of art and sculpture inside. They tell a detailed story about different events in America's past, and they provide an interesting commentary on how America's government, people, and artists have chosen to represent their history. We asked Barbara Wolanin to take us through several important rooms to learn more about the building's art and statue collection. She is the curator for the Architect of the Capitol.
The Capitol, from the very beginning, the architects envisioned art, sculpture for it, paintings for it. They were really built in as part of the architecture in each of the different construction stages of the Capitol.
We start in the most beautiful room, the Rotunda. This large circular room inside the Capitol's tall white dome measures over 54 meters high. It was completed in 1824. The room connects the Senate side of the building with the House of Representatives side, so it is both the physical and symbolic center of the building. Visiting the room is a wonderful experience. The room has a feeling of solidity and permanence, but it also is a celebration of light and airiness.
Okay, we're in the rotunda, right in the center of the United States Capitol, and starting from the top down, the very top, is the fresco painting called The Apotheosis of Washington. It was painted by a Roman-born artist, Constantine Obramidi, in 1865, at the end of the Civil War.
At the top of the dome is a colorful painting showing groups of people arranged in a circular shape. George Washington sits in the center of the painting, with women representing liberty and victory at his sides.
He's the one in the lavender lap robe, and he's rising up into the heavens. Apotheosis means being raised to the level of an ideal or a god.
It might seem strange today to show an American president as a god, but during the 19th century, Americans greatly loved and respected President Washington. This included Americans from both the North and South after the Civil War. Several Roman gods are also in the painting. They are holding examples of American technologies of the time.
They're mixed in with new American technology, the latest inventions. Like Ceres there is sitting on a McCormick reaper, which is the new way for reaping grain quickly. And Neptune with the trident is helping lay the transatlantic cable, which was just being laid when he was painting this.
The artist Constantino Brumidi finished this huge work in only 11 months. He also painted much of the frieze that extends along the rotunda walls under the room's 36 windows. A frieze is a long stretch of surface that has been painted or sculpted. This one tells the history of America. The people in the frieze are painted to look three-dimensional, like sculptures. Below the frieze, eight huge historical paintings hang on the curved walls. Four paintings tell about the events of the Revolutionary War in the late 18th century. The four others show examples of early explorations of the country. These include the landing of explorer Christopher Columbus and the discovery of the Mississippi River.
Sculptures are another important part of the room's decoration. One marble sculpture of Abraham Lincoln was created in 1871, after his death. Vinnie Rehm made the sculpture. She was the first woman hired by the government to create a work of art. She was only 18 years old when she was asked to make the statue. Another marble statue nearby honors three women who fought for voting rights for women. Adelaide Johnson made this sculpture.
The portrait monument has just an amazing history, too. This is also by a woman artist, and it was commissioned by the National Woman's Party in 1920 after women finally got the vote.
The sculpted forms of Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony, and Lucretia Mott seem to be coming up out of the huge piece of stone. Behind them, a fourth form rises out of the uncut stone. Adelaide Johnson said, "This unfinished area was meant to show that the struggle for women's equality was not over."
Many of the statues in this room and others throughout the Capitol are part of the National Statuary Hall collection. The collection was established in 1864. Congress invited each state to send two statues to the collection. The statues can represent a very famous person, such as an American president, or they can represent someone less well-known, but historically important. States can also replace an older statue with a new one. It has taken a long time to complete the collection. The 100th statue arrived in 2005.
Barbara Wallanin takes us into the National Statuary Hall. This large room was a meeting room for the House of Representatives until 1857.
This room, at the time it was built, was considered the most beautiful room in the whole country. Benjamin Henry Latrobe was the architect, and he really tried to make it as fine as he could. He was very interested in the classical architecture, so he wanted columns, and he had these special capitals for the columns carved in Carrara, Italy, based on ancient designs.
As you can guess from the room's name, it now houses many statues from the National Collection. For example, there is a marble statue of Sam Houston, a leader who fought for independence for the state of Texas.